Dave and Darren. We're the hosts of that morning show on Planet 93.9.
Which one?
It's called Dave and Darren in the Morning. I'm Dave. He's Darren. And what we've prepared for you here is a buffet of the very best, the top five things that happened on the show.
Here's the thing. Take all you want, but finish what you take.
And please bring a new plate each visit to the Dave and Darren Buffet. Those are not just our rules. That's the state of Iowa and Illinois, and it just makes sense.
Or you'll get banned.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, if James Corden has downloaded this episode, sir, you are not to listen. We are asking you to kindly not listen, James Corden.
Just move on.
You're 86th, sir, and it's going to stick with us no matter how much you grovel. Where do we get started here?
How about number one?
Blink 182 going out on tour, the reunited Blink 182. And I've said a handful of times that that was going to have to happen because there's just so much money that they would be leaving on the table if they didn't. I'm being told from friends that are trying to get tickets to see Blink 182 that nosebleed seats for the United Center show, which is the closest that that tour is coming to us, are like $350.
Okay.
Mark Hoppus is saying that he tried to buy tickets.
Yeah.
And he's in the band. And he said he tried to buy tickets for the show, and he couldn't get tickets. So there's something that's really broken when... Like, he says, I had tickets yoinked from my cart, and the whole thing crashed out. The tickets went on sale on Tuesday. Or no, Monday morning they went on sale. And fans of the band not happy with how expensive the tickets are and just how incredibly difficult it is to get tickets. Someone tweeting here, I understand it's been more than 10 years since the original Blink-182 has played a show together, but who can justify paying almost $800 for pit tickets? I'll just listen to it in my car with the music really loud and close my eyes. Yeah, here's tickets for, I mean, this is, you know, ostensibly a punk rock band, and the tickets here are going for $500, $493.
It's not very punk.
It's not very punk rock, yeah. And he's saying, hey, don't get mad at us. I tried to buy tickets. I couldn't get them either. Well, you have a hand in this, Mark.
Yeah, don't give me that.
He says, I understand that the ticketing can be frustrating. I bought tickets for two of our shows myself just to see what the experience was like. I had tickets yoinked from my cart and the whole thing crashed out. Dynamic pricing, I'm not in charge of it. It's meant to discourage scalpers. We're trying to bring you the best possible show for the best price. This dynamic processing or pricing strategy is something that Ticketmaster does. And they say it deters, you know, people from scalping tickets.
Right. We'll be the scalpers is what it is. As opposed to dealing with a scalper, you'll deal with us.
The system
in a scalping fashion
works by automatically adjusting prices in response to demand. There were tickets for the Springsteen tour that were going for as much as $5,000. I've been on a real Prince kick lately. And
that's going to cost you.
Well, yeah, no, I understand. When he played here in 1997, as the artist, the most expensive ticket for that show at the Mark was $40. So
thank you, Prince.
I know. And now, granted, that's 1997. That's a lifetime ago. But I adjusted for inflation because I thought, well, what would that be today? It would be, these are floor seats to see Prince, you know, the artist back then. Floor seats, if you adjust for inflation, it's like $71.
Okay.
Is $71 a great price to see Prince on the floor? You better believe it is. If Prince were still with us and he were playing a show at the Mark, would the tickets be $71? You couldn't park for $71. And I'm kind of conflicted on this because here's the thing. If you don't want to spend that kind of money to see anyone performing live, no one's putting any guns to anyone's heads. You don't have to go. If you don't go, that's one way of telling them that you think the prices are too high, right? Two, how much of this is because artists, really the only way they can make money because of the way the industry is set up now, you don't make money on selling records. Everyone just thinks music should be free. If you're streaming the latest record from your favorite band, they're getting a fraction of a penny, like a sliver of a penny every time you play it. You're not making... There's only a handful of artists that are making any money on making new music. So touring is really the only way you can make money. And if people are going to pay $300 for nosebleed seats, then there it is. Why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they gouge? Because somebody's going to pay that $300 for those tickets. Why shouldn't it be the artists? Am I way off?
Well, maybe they're thinking that they're making up for lost time, too.
That's it. Yeah, they haven't been making a ton of money in the last 10 years. I mean, Blink-182 has continued to tour and put out albums, but I don't know. It just seems like when a guy in the band is having trouble buying tickets and says he feels the pain of dynamic pricing, I get what you're trying to do, Mark, but also...
This is my promise to you.
You could stop this.
I will stay out of your way.
You're not
as
going.
As you attempt to get your Blink 182 tickets.
Yeah, I'm not going to this or probably any other show anytime soon because that's ridiculous. My wife was trying to get tickets to see Springsteen. She's going to go visit her dad down in Tampa, and it's when Springsteen's in town, and they were looking at tickets for Springsteen, and, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to justify that price. As incredible of a live experience as you get at a Bruce show, there's just no way in the world you can spend that
money. I'm glad I didn't pay that price the 20 times I saw him.
There it is.
So?
You were going to concerts before all this dynamic pricing nonsense got underway.
And you can still see live music.
Yeah.
I recommend the Raccoon Motel
for
reasonably priced shows.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You're right. $20 and you're seeing somebody on the up rather than somebody who's playing stadiums. That's well said. Hey, one other quick bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started by saying, you know, I'd been telling you for years I suspected that the three of them would get back together because there's so much money to be made.
And there's only three of them.
It's a lot easier
to get the band together.
Right. Trios are a lot easier to figure those things out. If the Police can get back together, surely Blink 182 can get back together. Did I put that out into the universe and manifest it? I don't know. Maybe. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago on this very show, Dave and Darren in the Morning, I suggested to you that I thought it was ridiculous that a blockbuster film like Twister didn't have a sequel.
And?
Guess what just got announced?
Let's twist again.
that'll be the campaign.
Sure.
You're very smart. That's going to be the entire campaign.
I'm smart. I know things.
Let's twist again like we did in the summer of 1997. Oh, that's good, Darren. I'm sure that they'll take that from you, too. You Match. Know things. You're not dumb, mm-hmm. like people say.
The things I'm smart, not like everybody says. Like, dumb, mm-hmm. I'm smart, and I want respect.
Yes, give him some respect. A sequel to Twister is finally coming. 30 years after Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt ran away from the killer tornado, we have a sequel. Steven Spielberg giving the green light to the sequel to the 1996 meteorological hit Twister. What would you call it? What's the name of the movie?
Let's twist again.
No, that's too big of a name. That's too long. People get confused. Let's twist again will be like the just when you thought the it was safe line. To go about in the water. Yeah. The
Twisted.
Oh, that's not bad. The sequel to Twister will be called Twisters.
Twisters.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
you got more than one to think about. Deadline saying that Spielberg flipped once he read the script for this. And his enthusiasm provided the impetus for this movie. Joseph Kosinski, the guy who directed Top Gun Maverick, was going to direct, But he fell off when he acquired the rights to a Formula One racing movie for Brad Pitt. Okay. Twisters doesn't have a director yet. But, and we don't know if Helen Hunt will be in.
So you don't
know. She hasn't signed on. They are hoping to bring Helen Hunt back.
The dilemma now is which Twister to chase.
There's that
don't
one.
Make me choose. This is like Sophie's Choice.
Can it be a rom-com between a young lady and two twisters?
Yeah, right.
Each of them has their pluses and minuses. But which one will bring her
happiness?
It's
a cross between Sophie's Choice and Megafault.
Glad! Sources say the hope is to bring Helen Hunt back with a drama that focuses on the daughter she had with the character played by the late Bill Paxton. She has caught the storm-chasing bug her parents had.
So they're Twister sisters.
What is this, a pledge pin on your uniform? The original film grossed more than $494 million worldwide, pushing the envelope on visual effects and featuring a cast that included Phil Seymour Hoffman, who is unavailable for the sequel, and Todd Field.
In maybe his greatest role.
You think?
He was pretty darn fine.
I mean, the fact that Bill Paxton's not around,
yeah.
They can explain he got killed by a tornado.
Yeah, he got sucked up by a tornado.
Right.
We still don't know where he is.
So Helen Hunt will be saying to the daughter, I don't want you chasing those twisters. They killed your daddy. And she'll say, Mama, I gotta chase twisters.
I still look up at every tree to see if I can find your father. I can't walk past a tree and not look at the top of it. We still can't find him. He took off like a rocket.
Don't you understand? I can't drive past a power line without hoping against hope that your idiot father's hanging on for dear life. Don't chase those twisters.
It's been 30 years, and I still look at every tree.
Bill? Bill, are
Bill,
you out there?
Bill?
That would be great. Helen Hunt's only lines are just to walk around in the background and yell at the top of trees. Bill? Are you in this tree? We don't know what tree it was.
I have no idea where he went.
Twisters. Coming soon to a theater near you.
That makes for a fantastic double bill at the drive-in.
Florence Pugh, that'll be who they cast, right? She's the it girl right now. It'll be Florence Pugh as the daughter of Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. She's chasing these twisters because there's more than one.
And it's, which one? Now
choose the right one. Which twister do I give this rose to? There's a ceremony. Twister number one, it's been a whirlwind, literally.
That tornado took my rose.
Twister number two, you literally swept me off my feet. I wish I could choose both of you, but I've got to give this rose to just one twister. This will be a Universal Studio release, so I'm guessing...
Will you be my cyclone tonight?
I'm guessing this will probably be in theaters in 2024, yeah?
Yeah. I think it's Marvel.
I can't wait!
Number two.
I have two Florida stories, and these are not the typical Florida stories involving a Florida man or a Florida woman. Just general Florida stories. And I would put one in a pile I call good news, and another in an equal and opposite pile I would call bad news. Florida, okay. Good news and bad news.
All right.
Which one do you want first?
Give me some good news.
All right. Someone in Fort Myers, hurricane hit Fort Myers, has a winning lottery ticket worth $247 million.
Bad news is it blew away.
Apparently, Grandpa played the Powerball outside during Hurricane Ian. Mega Millions. There were two Mega Millions winning tickets from Friday night's drawing, and one of them was purchased at the 7-Eleven in Fort Myers. The other winning ticket was sold in California. So the jackpot was $494 million. Each person then gets their share of $247 million.
Wow.
The 7-Eleven also gets a nice little bonus of $100,000 for selling the jackpot winning ticket. According to the Florida Lottery, as of yesterday, no one has stepped forward to claim the winnings. If you take it as a lump sum cash payment, that would be $123.95 million. Yeah,
that would do it.
So if you are dealing with a lot of damage to your home and you just won $247 million,
that takes the edge off.
Yeah, the sting is taken off. The bad news, there's been a real spike in flesh-eating bacteria cases there in Florida in the wake of Hurricane Ian.
Yeah, I got some in my mouth.
65 cases of flesh-eating bacteria reported statewide. Lee County. Now, how do you know Lee County?
From Starbucks.
Lee County has 29 confirmed cases and 4 deaths from the flesh-eating disease. So you survived the hurricane, but you got some sort of disease that is eating.
Well, I shouldn't have opened the door. That was on me. Let's see what's going on out here. it went up my nose. At 100 miles an hour, it went up your nose.
What a fool I was. When the hurricane knocked on the door and I answered, what a fool I was. Hang on, I'll get this. Hello?
Who was it? The hurricane. It was Ian.
Went right in my nose. They say floodwaters and standing waters following a hurricane pose many risks, including infectious diseases, such as what they call Vibrio vulnificus.
Yes.
I mean, that was one of the things they showed was people swimming around in the floodwaters. Oh. What are you doing? Sewage spills in coastal waters like those caused by Hurricane Ian may increase bacteria levels. People with open wounds, cuts, or scratches can be exposed through direct contact with seawater or brackish water. It's typically found in warm brackish water and enters the human body when you eat undercooked oysters or shellfish. But the bacteria can also infect skin if an open wound is exposed to warm seawater. Oh, boy. Flesh-eating bacteria. It can lead to something they call necrotizing fasciitis, a severe infection when the flesh around the open wound just dies. Not the only bacteria that can cause this infection. So, God, it would suck to have a flesh-eating disease.
It would suck.
And this is when you win the lottery.
Of course.
Don't have long. Gonna have to have a real blowout.
Gonna have an extra lobster tail.
Why is apparently Ken talking now? We're Dave and Darren.
Number three.
South Carolina man is in trouble after he stole the cremated remains of his ex-girlfriend's mom so he could sell them for drugs. How would that work?
Have you seen Mom?
How would that even work?
Who wants the ashes?
I'm very confused by this story.
Is there a market for that? Who wants that?
Aiken, South Carolina. Man stole the cremated remains of his ex-girlfriend's mom so he could sell them for heroin. And this is a tribute to my ex-girlfriend's mom. He's in jail. The ex-girlfriend said she left her home around 10 p.m. on Tuesday to go to a friend's house. At 5:40 in the morning the next Wednesday, her ex-boyfriend, Jackson Rutland, called to tell her he had taken some of her mom's ashes.
Hello, I'm Jackson Rutland.
Hey, are you up? I just want to let you know I took some of your mom's ashes.
Just some of it.
According to an arrest warrant, his plan was
to pays you for that?
Sell the ashes to get heroin. When the victim returned home, she found the rear door had been kicked in and the home had been ransacked. She said her mom's ashes had been tampered with and some had been spread over the floor. I'm not the best at getting ashes out of urns. I understand ransacking a home to have to steal stuff for heroin. That I get. I can wrap my head around that.
But who's buying the ashes?
Yeah, that part I don't understand at all. I must confess, I'm very confused. You want to get some horse? I get it. But
yeah. The smack I'm down with.
Yeah. You had me stealing for heroin, but your ex-girlfriend's mom's ashes? He was arrested around 11 p.m. on Thursday and booked into the Aiken County Jail on charges of destruction, desecration, or removal of human remains, as well as burglary, according to the jail records. It is unclear how he thought he would get enough money from the remains to purchase heroin. Sheriff's Captain Eric Abdullah telling the press there in South Carolina, quote, I've never heard of anything like that. Hey, man, can I get some heroin? Sure, you got some money? What if I told you instead of money, I had a portion of my ex-girlfriend's mother's ashes?
Keep talking. I'm listening.
Now, listen, I know you've got a lot of junkies that you deal with on a regular basis. What I'm bringing you isn't money, per se, but some of the ashes of my ex-girlfriend's mother.
What do you think of that? I'm still here, aren't I?
Do we have a deal?
Number four.
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 Let me ask you how you would respond to this one. Yesterday, my wife asks if I want to go. She's going to pick up some produce.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, let's go to Aldi and get some produce.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go? And I have nothing going on. I like getting out of the house. Because sure, I'll go. I'll be your Aldi Huckleberry. Let's do this. Let's rock and roll.
I'll be your wingman.
Now, I have never, when I go to Aldi, I tend to just pick up one or two things.
Yeah.
I've never dealt with the quarter and the cart thing.
Yes.
Right? Well, she wanted to get enough stuff that a cart was necessary. She keeps a quarter now right there in the front seat of the car.
So sure.
That's the Aldi quarter that is only to be used for the Aldi cart system. All of this checks out. We get the couple of things, some grapes, a couple of cheeses. I think she's got a couple of different frozen meals. And then it's time to go.
Yeah.
And we take the cart to the car. We put everything in the car. And she then tells me to take the cart back.
Yes.
And she says, I'm going to let you take the cart back. I'm interested to see if you can figure it out.
What does that mean?
I didn't know how to take that. I'm like, see if I can figure it out. She's like, I just want to see, you know,
see if you've got the goods.
If this is a task that you're up to.
Yeah.
So then I'm thinking, well, how hard can it be?
Yeah.
And then I get there and I start to panic because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I don't know what's going on. Quarters here. I've never done this before. And then I'm thinking like, oh no. Oh, I can't ask. Oh, how do I figure? I did actually figure it out after.
Sure.
After, you know, 10 seconds of staring at it.
Yeah.
Figuring the puzzle out that you push the quarter out is all you're doing.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you, attach the cart back to the
From the cart that's in front of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just pops out.
Right. I was able to figure it out, but as I walked back to the car, I thought, did she think I wouldn't be able to figure that out?
Apparently. She thought that was a possibility.
It's a real test.
Yes.
Might have to leave him here in the parking lot.
Well, I'll come back and get you.
Yeah.
If you ever do figure it out.
Yeah, it was like one of the labors of Hercules. I want to see if you can figure this out. Okay. I'll try my best.
It almost sounds like the sort of task that she would have had you undertake before you got married.
Right. I mean, we've been married 21 years.
Yeah, what is she going to do about it now?
Exactly.
Even if you can't figure it out, it's too late.
Yeah, I don't think that's grounds.
You know, pre-marriage, I get.
Sure. No, but I was, I'm very proud to tell you, I was able to figure it out.
Good deal.
There's a new quarter coming out next week. The United States Mint announcing it's the fifth coin in the American Woman Quarters collection. And this will have American actress Anna May Wong. Wong was the first Chinese-American Hollywood film star, a trailblazer in the industry, and a champion for greater representation of Asian Americans in film. She will be the first Asian American ever featured on U.S. currency.
Huh.
So something to keep an eye out when you're looking at your quarters.
Okay, we're doing that with the quarters, huh?
See, I'm glad you said that because I should have known that if this is the fifth quarter of the American Women Quarters collection, I wasn't aware there were other women.
Or I haven't been paying attention.
No. So far this year, Maya Angelou, Dr. Sally Ride, Nina Ortella Warren, and Wilma Mankiller have all gotten quarters. Wilma Mankiller, the first woman elected principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. Nina Ortella Warren was a leader in New Mexico's suffrage movement and the first woman superintendent of the Santa Fe Public Schools. Dr. Sally Ride was an astronaut, of course, the first American woman in space, and Maya Angelou, a celebrated writer, performer, and social activist. Anna May Wong will be the fifth woman this year, and then there's five more that'll be on quarters starting next year. Bessie Coleman, Edith Kanaka Ole, Eleanor Roosevelt, Iovita Idear, and Maria Tallchief, America's first prima ballerina.
In my defense, I don't get my hands on a lot of quarters.
Well, no. What do you got, the Pac-Man fever?
Typically, that's a pretty nice coin.
Yeah.
Typically, I deal with coins that are not quite a quarter.
Oh, yeah. No, quarter, that's a rich man's game.
That's a different stratosphere that I...
What am I having, lobster Thermidor?
Exactly.
With a pocket full of quarters?
Quarters?
Number five.
I have here for you, Darren, a review of people asking advice columnists. Mm-hmm. Not strangers on the internet, but people who give advice for a living. And they have different issues at home and at work, and they write to these advice columnists. I want to share with you the questions, and then if you want, I can tell you what the experts say.
All right.
This is from the Ask a Manager column. These are generally people that have work-related issues. Is it normal that my company constantly lists everyone's job online to make sure we all know we're at risk of being replaced?
It's constantly available.
I work at a mid-sized company in a highly competitive field where turnover is usually very high. And most positions are either sales-focused or service-based, with a few office administration occupations making up the roster.
Yeah.
The sales openings do not require any specific training, while the service positions are considered skilled trade jobs and can be highly specialized and hard to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, my company has adopted the policy that everyone's job is posted online all the time. So no matter what your position is, unless you're an upper-level manager, you're at risk of being replaced, and it only takes your manager opening the bank of applicants to move forward with replacing current employees. The company's stance is that everyone should be aware that they are replaceable, and that should be enough to motivate us to perform our very best every day.
Well, that wouldn't be necessary if you've got several people doing the same job.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, you know what the turnover here is.
Right.
I mean, we constantly have to, you know, have this posted because we're constantly bringing in new people. You're not the only person doing this job.
That's how the company should explain.
Right. But as opposed to saying, you know, you could be replaced at any... No, it's like, no. It's just... You work here. You know what the turnover rate is.
They continue. I feel this is incredibly offensive and horrible for morale. Granted, I'm opposed to any kind of tenure system and feel that no one's job should be protected against replacement if warranted. But this is taking it to the extreme. One colleague pointed out that it was like a married person logging on to dating apps when they get into an argument with their partner. So in your opinion, ask a manager, is this a good idea? Or am I correct that it's incredibly demoralizing and bad for business in general? Do other companies do this? Allison Green at Ask a Manager says that, no, this is not a good idea. Something is deeply wrong with the management culture in your organization, she writes. They apparently don't know how to manage effectively without holding the daily threat of replacement over people. You can say we're always hiring in a way that doesn't make everybody feel
right
like there's the sword of Damocles over their heads.
We were always hiring when we hired you,
mm-hmm.
and we're always hiring.
Right. But you're doing it. You've got nothing to worry about because you're doing a good job.
Right.
And even if you're not, tell them that and then get rid of them. Yeah, that seems like a real jerk philosophy, a jerk management style. Should I, here's somebody looking for advice from an advice columnist. Should I have brought home food for my ex-boyfriend when he came over uninvited, even though I told him not to?
What?
My boyfriend broke up with me.
Yes.
He was my boyfriend!
Was.
He was your boyfriend.
Was.
My boyfriend broke up with me.
Yeah.
And I did not talk with or see him in months.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to call me sometimes, but I did not take the calls.
Yeah.
Well, then he called again and said he was coming over to see me. I told him no, that I was busy.
No, don't do that.
But he came over anyway. I was going out with friends. So he stayed at my house with my parents as they were visiting as well.
What?
Oh, boy.
Hey, Dad, I'm going to need a little help here.
My friends and I had gone out for dinner, and then my ex was mad that I didn't bring him any food back.
And why did you break up?
Should I have gotten him some food when I didn't even want him there? He stayed overnight on my couch and then left the next morning.
What is he doing?
I have not spoken to him again. This happened months ago, but I am still irate.
I think you know what the answer is.
Why would you
even consider that?
I would just let it go. Yeah, this.
But you'll leave him with your parents?
Well, what are the parents doing? Like, okay. We'll entertain your ex-boyfriend you don't want at the house.
Guess we'll hang out here.
Should I apologize to my father for asking him to leave my brother's wake after he said my brother was going to hell? Okay.
Oh, man.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
My father considers himself a deeply religious man. He believes that anyone who doesn't conform to his beliefs is going to hell. He told my gay sister she's going to hell. And at my brother's wake in celebration of life, he announced to everyone that my brother was going to hell because he was an atheist. He also criticized all the arrangements, even though they were exactly what my brother requested. I pulled him aside and asked him to quit saying these things. He refused and declared, "This conversation is over." The next morning, my family voted unanimously to ask Dad to leave. Being the eldest, I was elected to deliver the news to him.
To leave where? The house for good? The home?
He and my stepmother didn't take it well, and both said a lot of terrible things. Now they refuse to accept that the whole family agreed to it, and they blame me for it. Any ideas on how to repair the damage? My stepmother suggests I lie and say it was just me and that I'm sorry. But that's not true. Maybe it's best I remain estranged from my father.
Yeah.
And he can have normal relations with the rest of my family if he believes it's just my fault that he was asked to leave. I'm guessing if the wake was the night before, this would have been like the celebration of life would have been the following day.
Okay.
So Dad's telling everybody, my son's not here. My son's in hell.
Uh-huh.
And he says,
he's not the only one.
You got to go, Dad. I got to go. Who says?
All of us.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be thrilled to be estranged from a dad like this.
Yeah, you don't want any of that.
Dear Abby says here, your siblings need to step forward and make plain that the vote was unanimous. If your father and stepmother choose to isolate themselves after that, you will all be better off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Last one. What should I do after my roommate's girlfriend peed on the couch and blamed me for it?
What?
What should I do after my roommate's girlfriend peed on the couch and blamed me for it? I share a 3-bedroom house with 2 guys. I pay more for the room with the private bath while they share one. Generally, the main areas are clean enough, but I wouldn't stay in their bedrooms for love or money. Jen is the new girlfriend. She has a bad habit of going into my room to use the shower and toilet. She does this without asking me. I don't like people in my room when I'm not there, especially because Jen will publicly make comments about my personal items. She brought up the color of my bras at an event when someone asked me my favorite color. Talking it out went nowhere, so I installed a lock on my door.
Who asked you what your favorite color bra is?
Jen was mad, and my housemate told me I was overreacting. I told him, look, I pay more for my privacy, and you should just clean up your act. Things have been tense, but the storm hit when I got woken up in the middle of the night. A drunk Jen started to bang on my door and yelled at me to let her in. She was ready to pee her pants. I yelled back, go ahead and do that. She went downstairs. I said, you can go downstairs or you can go down the street to the convenience store. She left and I went back to bed. In the morning, we all found a huge pee stain on the couch.
Uh-huh.
Jen was embarrassed and blamed me. I told her she did this herself and she should pay for the cleaning of the couch.
You decided to use the couch?
I got a real red wagon.
I told her she did this herself and she should pay for the cleaning. The guys ended up paying for the cleaning, but they're both still mad at me. I have 9 months to go on this lease. Help. No.
You got a handful there.
Yeah, that's... To be clear, there was another bathroom available.
Yeah, go to that one as opposed to peeing on the couch.
Or, you know, outside.
Oh, yeah, if need be.
Right? Here's the response. Yeah, they write, it's been a while since I had to ask this in response to a letter, but is this real?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, is this real? I'm sorry, but you're going to have to spend 9 months living with 2 boundary-ignoring, ridiculous roommates who are mad at you, as well as dealing with their criminally rude, probably alcoholic girlfriend.
Probably alcoholic girlfriend.
You could look into what it would take to break the lease, but unless you want to trick someone into subletting your room, I think you're probably stuck. I was going to suggest leaving a case of adult diapers outside your door with her name on them.
But those get pricey.
But I won't. Keep your head down, stay locked in your room, and ignore them as much as possible. Also, next time, ask for references before you sign another lease with other tenants.
Yeah.
Probably the best advice.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Was that kind of a dick move, banning James Corden? Should we give him another chance?
No.
Okay, we're going to stick to our guns on this one. How dare you? I should go back there and make the omelet myself. Thanks for listening to Dave.
As if you could.
Thanks for listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. We'll have another one for you real soon. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
It was great fun. I don't even remember why we came, but I had a ball.
I look forward to reminiscing about this tomorrow.
Oh, we are the boys of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.
Hi, this is Art Linkletter. Thanks for listening.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.